Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, November 17th, 2021. As always, we're grateful that everyone is joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner of the page, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience that I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. On that same page, you can download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on it, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And there you'll get, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through that worksheet process and or given testimonials about how beneficial it has been to apply that tool in their lives. And we hope people do that soon and often because it frequently creates questions, comments, or testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call and share. Area code 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it'll put a question mark by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. We're also doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year. Today is the 321st day of the year. Today's lesson reads, Father, my freedom is in you alone. And the preface to this section is a series of paragraphs about what is creation. And I'll leave you with this, that there will, creation is the sum of all the Creator's thoughts, infinite in number, everywhere, and without limit. So creation is everything that the one mind, the creative mind, has thought. And everything is in line with that creation, whether we hallucinate that it's in line with it or not. And it's only by using the process of forgiveness, which is basically the removal of everything that's unlike that true perception, that accurate perception, that we are able to fully align with the thought of the Creator. And so today's lesson reads, Father, my freedom is in you alone. Commentary says, I did not understand what made me free, nor what my freedom is, nor where to look to find it. Creator, I have searched in vain until I heard your voice directing me. That would be that still small voice, that quiet, intuitive knowing that each one of us has some access to if we will step into the use of it. And now I would give up guiding myself and let your guidance direct me. I trust in you. You, as a creator that endowed me with my freedom, you endowed me as your holy offspring, and that endowment will not be lost to me. I'm going to listen to your voice, and I'm going to listen to the way that you direct me in opening and clear at last. Creator, my freedom is in you alone. Today we answer for the world which will be freed along with us. How glad we are to find our freedom through the way that our Creator has established. How sure is all the world's salvation when we learn our freedom can be found in the Creator alone. And today's commentary from the Course in Miracles experiment by Pam Grout, lesson 321 from Pam, is titled, Striving Sucks, or What Self-Help Books Fail to Mention. Pam quotes A Course in Miracles where it says, if ever I am sad or hurt or ill, I have forgotten what the Creator teaches and put my little meaningless ideas where his thoughts belong. Pam writes, I know, many of my books are listed in the self-help section, but here's why I'd like to invent a new category. Point number one, striving is unnecessary. Nothing is missing, nothing is wrong, no matter how it appears to the naked eye. You, me, all of us are perfect just as we are. When I seek to fix something, I add weight to the illusion that something could be wrong. I begin seeking, I begin striving, and all of that only trains me how to stay hallucinating that I'm broken. Wanting to change sets off warning bells and sends up a red flare. Here's the next point. There's no need to follow the 7 or 8 steps. Most of us believe there is a linear progression. We go from A to B to C, etc. When I live in miracle mind, which is also known as my natural state, answers arise spontaneously. People that I'm meant to meet show up in the same aisle at the grocery store. Everything works without effort. And here's the third point. There's custom-designed guidance. One size does not fit all. Just like one diet plan or one strategy for meeting your soulmate doesn't work for everybody. Everything I need to know is already inside me. Any worthy pilgrimage always brings me straight back to myself. So, I'd like to propose a name change. Instead of the self-help section in the bookstore, how about the self-connecting to the bigger thing section of the bookstore? Look for it at your local bookstore, labeled self-connecting to the bigger thing. And that's our Course in Miracles workbook lesson for today, and that's our Course in Miracles experiment commentary from Pam Grout. And as usual, we've got about 50 minutes to take your comments or questions or suggestions for a topic or Or mention people you think that we should interview. You can email us at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org, W-H-Y-A-G-A-I-N.org. Or you can give us a call at 563-999-3581. So today, since no one has a hand up, I will share a worksheet. Now, the Mind Shifter is the name of the show, Mind Shifter Radio, and Mind Shifter is a tool in this work. It's one of the, I consider it one of the two primary tools, or one of the three primary tools, or one of the four primary tools. There are others, but I talked about the codependence to interdependence worksheet yesterday or the day before. And we've talked about the Mind Shifter often, and we've talked about the Reality Management Worksheet often. But the core tool, the one primary, if you only had one tool to use, and I had only one tool from all of this work that I could share with people, it would be the Reality Management Worksheet. And the Reality Management Worksheet needs a little bit of explanation, because in our culture, people say, well, reality is just what is. But in Michael's work, he has found it quite valuable to refine that by saying reality is what each of us create images of in our mind. So you've got seven people in a room, you've got seven different realities. And what actually is called the actuality in Michael's work. So the Reality Management Worksheet is a tool to change a reality. My reality is any perceptual output that's constructed by my own mind. And the forgiveness, from the ancient Aramaic word shabag, the forgiveness process is a tool for waking up from and changing my reality. Now, the question would be, why would I want to change the pictures my mind shows me? The answer is, any time the pictures in my mind show me a way to be angry, sad, hurt, scared, or frustrated, the very best use I've ever discovered for that negative emotional experience is as a wake-up call that there's something off the mark in my own thinking. And recently, there's been something off the mark in my own thinking. Recently, when I've thought about an interaction I have with another grown adult in my life today, in 2021, I'm left feeling uncomfortable. I'm left feeling miffed, angry, hurt, sad, scared, etc. It's been a range of different emotions. So this morning I picked up a reality management worksheet, as I had committed to do quite a while ago. Life's been busy, and this was the first time I've picked this up. There was an email I received back on the 26th or something, and in response to that email, my mind created all of these images and pictures of how this is dismissive, and this is, you know, nothing I asked for, and all of these negative interpretations of the email. And we all of us know, we know what an email is. It's a little electronic signal that goes through the air that shows up on our phone or our computer and arranges some, you know, little pixels on a screen, and we interpret what the words are, what their meaning is, what their emotional content is, etc. And what I did was I had received an email that I hadn't asked for, and I put an interpretation on what I read in the email and ended up with all of these negative emotions. So I pulled out the Reality Management Worksheet, the one I'm using. There are so many different forms of this out there over the years. So I will mention that this is a 7-step reality management worksheet, and it was the final version of this worksheet was created in August of 2017, and this is the third revision from that time period. So at the very bottom it says version 8/2017-3. So if you're looking for following along, it's one of the more recent 7-step reality management worksheet processes that are available from whyagain.org, click on the link that says Start Here in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage. Scroll down a little bit, and it'll say Reality Management Worksheets or Forgiveness Worksheets, and this is the one I'm using. So it begins by reminding me that the premise of this work that is that my essential nature, my very human life, my being is the energy of love or creation expressing in form. And it reminds me that the goal of this reality management worksheet, and it's called an internal forgiveness wake-up sheet, the goal of it is to empower me to remove any form of hostility or fear from my mind and return me to the direct experience of my true nature as this energy of creation or energy of love 24/7 all year long. So the worksheet then says, okay, here's point 1A. I, Tim, who am love, I'm experiencing an emotion. My emotion for this worksheet was miffed, angry. And then the worksheet reminds me to use a separate worksheet for each emotion, and it tells me that hostility and fear come from internal corrupt data, and they indicate my mind's use of sustained incoherence. That's what David Bohm, that's a term that David Bohm coined. He was a physicist, and he understood exactly the same thing that Krishnamurti, a great spiritual teacher, did, that there's a flaw in the process of thought. So we use our thoughts to create a picture in our mind, and then we generate these upsets, and then we think we don't like those upsets, so we're going to try and use our thoughts to get rid of the upset. And we're using the very process that created the upset. It cannot lead to a solution. That's sustained incoherence. So hostility and fear come from internal corrupt data, and they indicate my mind's use of sustained incoherence to build this disturbing internal construct, the image in my mind that says the person who sent me this email is being dismissive of me and all of my work. When that happens, it displaces my awareness of myself as love, as creative energy, and it tells me a lie. It tells me that my emotions are being caused by someone or something outside of me. In this case, the email or the person that sent the email. So my story, my reality is that this person sent me this email and that they are being dismissive of me and all of my work. And the worksheet reminds me to take a breath. Nice deep breath. Hold it for a couple counts at the top. Slow the exhale down and initiate that relax response, that rest and digest response from the parasympathetic nervous system, calm myself a bit. And then the worksheet asks me to remember, if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. Always, only always and forever. If I have pain in my energy system, something's amiss in my energy system, not in the world around me. So that's point 1A is my name is Tim. Point 1B is my emotion is miffed. Point 1C is the person that sent the email. And what they did, my thought about it is that they're being dismissive of me and my work. And 1D is only my thoughts cause my emotional upset. So I'm going to take another breath and focus on my thoughts. And I'm going to pay attention to the fact that there's a specific thought I'm using to cause my emotion of miffed in this worksheet. And the thought I was using was, he does not value or respect me. So then I move to 1E. 1E says, what are my punishment thoughts? What are my punishment thoughts for the person that sent this email? Well, I just want to cut him off, not respond, have nothing more to do with him. And what's a punishment thought for myself? Well, leaving, that's a punishment thought that might hurt me and him, or for me to stay stuck. So I vacillate back between those two. Staying in the situation, pushing for a resolution, or just leaving. Either one feels like it would be a negative impact for me. And then point two in this work says, point 2A, I choose to love, I choose to honor, I choose to respect and work towards seeing the absolute truth, capital T truth. And I willingly face and process out all of the dis-ease producing energies for and from all of my relations and my generations. Point 2B, I willingly go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. And I've done enough of these worksheets to know that's what I'm really interested in. This worksheet is not about anybody but me. My mind wants me to believe it's all about somebody outside of me and the worksheet and the email they sent and them being dismissive of me. But what I understand is this worksheet is about my creating the emotion of being miffed, angry, and my recurring thought about not being valued or respected. So my goal is to heal. And I'm going to choose to respect truth. I'm going to choose to honor truth and willingly face and process out all of the energies in my system for and from all of my relations and the generations that would be creating the negative emotional states and the tension and anger and fear and sadness that I'm experiencing. In order to do that, point 2B reminds me I need to be willing to go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. So I put a check mark in those two boxes and take a breath and calm myself again. And then there's a release. It asks me to do a release where I release and surrender myself, my emotions of being missed, the person that sent me the email, my 1C, my story about that email, my thoughts about how that person doesn't value or respect me, and my punishment thoughts to cut that person off or to leave and punish myself or to stay stuck and punish myself. And I'm going to surrender all of those things to the energy of love. And I breathe again and soften myself. Point number 3 asks me to come up with what is my mind telling me needs to happen in order for all of this to be resolved, for my miffed, angry energy to be resolved and that negative thought to be resolved. And the goal that I chose was I want this person to recognize and appreciate me and my contributions. So I write that as the goal. I take a breath. And then in the right-hand column, there's a reminder to ask myself, listen, Tim, if that person that sent you the email is the one with the problem, why am I the one feeling the pain? Why are you, Tim, feeling the pain? And then it asks me to do one of the most important cancellations in any of my personal growth work. It asks me to cancel my need to be right and cancel my need to make up another story out of the content of my mind and my memories of what's happened and what should have happened and what didn't happen, so that I can hallucinate proof that my reality, my fear and hostility-based story is true. So I cancel my need to be right, and I take a breath, and I put a check mark in that box. Then I come back to the fourth step, and the fourth step says, I'm going to choose to focus on my true nature as love. And when I focus on that true nature and strengthen my awareness of it, that energy radiates more deeply from my heart space, and that stirs the energy of that creative energy, that loving energy, in everybody around me and everybody involved in any way in this dynamic. The worksheet process mentions the story of the rose and the butterfly, and it says, here's a simple story. A rose and a butterfly, we give them each an ego. They fall madly in love. They have a wonderful time. And one day, being true to its nature, the butterfly picks up and flies away. The rose, mistakenly thinking that the love of his love for the butterfly is the most important thing in his life, it uproots itself to chase after the butterfly, and sadly, it dies. Why did it die? It died because it made something else more important than being connected to its source. The core of the worksheet process says, the premise of this worksheet is that my source, my very nature, my very being, is this energy of love and compassion and the energy of creation expressing in form. So anytime I focus my mind energy on something less than that, I'm uprooting myself, I'm cutting off my experience of my true self, and I'm initiating disease and eventually death. So in step four, I want to do a brief meditation, put my hand over my heart space, calm and center myself, and think the most loving, peaceful, safe, happy, contented memories that I ever, that I can come up with right now, whether recent or distant past. And I did that, and as usual, I thought of some form of interaction with one of my sons or both of my sons. I'm blessed to have two wonderful offspring. And I just breathed into that and shifted my energy. And then I moved to step five. And step five says, when I'm upset, my perception is built out of corrupt data. It's driven by my goal in number three. Here, the goal in number three is for this other person who sent the email to recognize and appreciate me and my contributions. So whenever I'm upset, my perception is built out of this corrupt data and driven by that goal. This upset is a limiting picture created from a tiny bit of information. Harvard research says 9 bits of data during the period of time that my brain cells might be firing 10,000 units of activity. And the truth is, by canceling my goal, that part of my mind that just keeps creating the same picture over and over and trying to convince me it's right and everybody else is wrong, that part of my mind collapses and gives me direct contact with whatever has been denied and dissociated in my mind. That the stuff that's in my mind that gets denied and dissociated, it projects and blames others for its content. So while willingly holding love, conscious, active, and present, I choose to collapse my mind's lies and distortions and hallucinations by willingly canceling my goal for this person to recognize and appreciate me and my contributions. So then I breathed and I softened. And step 5B says, I invite Ruka Dakucha. In Aramaic, this is the term for an elemental force specific to humans that each of us has access to, and it's there to break off the effects of our errors in thought and guide us to truth and happiness if we just ask it to. So I'm asking Ruka to incline me toward healing, to restore me to the awareness of my newborn essence as love, to heal my denial, and the denial here would be the thought that somebody else is causing my emotion or my upset, and heal my capacity to generate the emotion of being miffed or angry, and help me open a conscious relationship with and gently remove the denied, dissociated, and projected parts of my mind, my carbon-based memory. So I breathe into that, and with this work, I add a release pattern that I've collected from great minds over the past 18 years, Julie Haverstick and Michael Rice and Jeannie Rice and other people that I was at intensives with and other people in support groups that would come up with bits and pieces. And this is what that pattern sounds like. I close my eyes, put my hand over my heart space, and I gently repeat to myself, I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet. I put my conscious logical mind on the shelf for now. And I ask to be shown the hidden part of my own mind that's actually causing my emotion of being miffed. And then I just put myself in this open, allowing space, and I realize I'm perfectly safe here in this present moment. My heart's beating. My breath is moving, and it's perfectly safe for me to see and feel and work through anything that comes to mind. It's all old stuff. It can't hurt me any more than it already has. If it's coming up in my mind right now, it's just nerves firing in my brain. It's an echo of pain. It's a memory of a situation. And I just breathe and soften and gently repeat. I cancel my need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. I specifically cancel my goal in this worksheet. I put my conscious, logical mind on the shelf for now, which is the only way to cancel the sustained incoherence. And I ask to be shown something that my conscious, logical mind can't show me, the hidden part of my own mind that's actually creating my upset. And then as I sit and breathe and soften, if something comes to mind, I notice where I am, how old I am, who else is there, and what's happening. And I just pay attention to the details and breathe into it until I feel something shift or fade, or I get an insight, or I realize that my mind is just going to be spinning and go nowhere. And when I did that in this particular worksheet, I saw an image of myself at about 8 years old, and I saw the image of myself trying to interact with my uncle, my mother's older brother, and me being dismissed and him being very dismissive toward me. And I had a series of memories flip through as I just breathed and softened. I took quite a few minutes for this, and I remembered images of things when I was 8, and I was very, very connected to my uncle's third oldest son. He and I were like, you know, best buddies. And then I flipped to a memory of interacting with my uncle when I was 23 years old. And then I flipped to a memory of interacting with my uncle's family at his funeral. I was probably 40, 44 at the time. And as I just breathed and softened and had all of these memories of feeling discounted and dismissed by him at a younger age, and my sadness that I couldn't be more connected to him or help him, and my sadness that I couldn't have done more to help him and his family over the years, and my sadness about wishing that more people had knew about all of the efforts I made to help him and various other people. I had tears come up. I softened. I breathed. I kept my hand over my heart space, trying to be gentle with myself. And eventually it felt like I'd resolved enough. So I opened my eyes and dried my tears and blew my nose and made some notes all over the back of the worksheet. And then I made the note in on 6A that I took a breath and scanned my body and realized I felt considerably calmer, but I was also sad. I was no longer angry. I had sadness come up, and I was much more calm. And I just made notes that see the back of the worksheet for all the things related to when I was 8 years old and the cascade of memories. So I breathed and softened, and then I decided, okay, I commit to love. This is part of the worksheet. I commit to living a human life. And to help do this and to achieve this, I'm going to do a mass canceling of all the times I've wanted somebody in my life, anyone in my life, to recognize and appreciate me and my contributions. I breathed into that, softened that energy. And then step 7 in the worksheet says, a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. So I'm going to be grateful to the person that sent this email for this opportunity to heal. And I'm going to choose to honor truth, and I'm going to choose to reset the filters in my mind over my intention and my perception, Rachma and Kuba, set them to those filters so that the state of perfect love has a chance to be present in my awareness. And then I'm going to breathe and soften. And the person that sent me this email that I interpreted as being dismissive of me and all my work, I structure a truly loving goal toward that person. And I'm going to offer them 2 more worksheets on the grief and 1 more worksheet on the conclusion that they're being dismissive. And my upset level by the time I was done was down from a 7 down to a 2. So that was the worksheet for this morning and the way it unfolded. And quite a few surprises in it for me about connections to things. And here I am, you know, past my mid-60s and a psychologist in the safety of my own office. And yet when I interpret something as innocuous as an email with the correct alignment of energies and interpretations, I generate all of this anger, all of this sadness, all of this upset. And that's how this tool continues to be of so much benefit to me in my life. So area code 248, you're in the air.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good. Who do we have? What's your first name or a fake name if you don't want to give your true name? How can we support you today?
This is Gianni from Detroit, and might be surprised.
I heard from Detroit, but what's your name?
Gianni.
All right, Gianni. How can we help you today?
I think I may be going through some depression. I've been too embarrassed to talk to someone about it. My mom died in late June. She took the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and she died a month later. I had to kick her apartment door in to find her dead. Then shortly after, maybe like 3 weeks later, when we buried her, and then my girlfriend decided, I say, abandoned me. Because at that time, I felt like I needed her there. Me and my girlfriend been together for 5 years. She's 24. I'm 34. I'm too embarrassed to talk about the situation. Because I feel like when I explain it, everyone tell me, oh, don't let her play games with you. Just leave. But yet, it's been 5 years, and I'm holding on to something. I'm just holding on to it because I already lost my mom. I don't want to lose everything that's around me.
Well, that's certainly a lot to be facing it a short period of time. How did you find us on Mindshifters Radio?
Just going through the categories and seeing who I can talk to.
Well, we have some really powerful, useful tools that might be of benefit to you. The first tool that I usually teach people when they come into my office is to take a breath where you comfortably fill your lungs, hold it at the top for 2 or 3 seconds, and then resist the exhale. So your exhale is at least 10 seconds long. And that's what I would start you with. I would take a breath or two, comfortably fill your lungs, hold it at the top, and slowly exhale. Not blast it out. Because when you do that, you start to initiate the relaxation response in your body. The next thing I would offer is, did you hear the opening introduction?
There's a
website for this show where all these tools are available absolutely free. You don't even have to get put on a mailing list. And that website is whyagain.org. And if you go there and you click on the Start Here link, it'll take you to a page where you can access all these tools. The worksheet that I just stepped through, targeted journaling work. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, A-R-A-M-A-I-C. And download an app for your phone so you can do that worksheet that I just stepped through anywhere you have your phone with you. And it's a tool I've been using for over 18 years now to work on sadness, depression, anger, anxiety, hurt, confusion, any of the negative emotions. And it's been helping transform my life for the better for over 17 years.
Okay. All right, I'm going to do that.
And what you just announced is really intense stuff for us humans to go through. the loss of a mother, the loss of a relationship. Even if your mother hadn't died recently, the loss of a five-year relationship is the kind of thing that really makes us reevaluate, or gives us an opportunity to reevaluate our choices in life and what we might be doing right, what we might not be doing so well. But to have all of that happen at once, it's very, very common for us as human beings to feel overwhelmed, to feel pushed to the limits.
It happened, I could say, at the end of July. And at that point, my girlfriend moved out with her friend, and she's been pretty much leaving me alone. Just so that's the worst part, been leaving me alone. As we'll get back together, she's not seeing nobody else. Niggas always asking me if I'm seeing somebody else, telling me she loved me. Pretty much just lying, conniving. Because when she finally came back last week, I had so much resentment that she abandoned me in the summertime. Like, every other word was me bringing up the fact where you left me, and you don't deserve to talk and say this and say that. So there's a lot of tension there. Then, come to find out, the guy she supposedly wasn't messing with ended up calling her as if she owed him an explanation why she wasn't calling him, to make it seem like they was in a relationship. But she telling me, oh no, I'm just leading him on, it's not that. I didn't want to come back and for you to not feel some type of way about me. And that's why I kept leading him on, because if I didn't have you, at least I have somebody else. And I felt that was pretty conniving. But that was the whole relationship almost with the last year and a half of it, of her just being conniving like that and making me feel I'm saying something wrong or doing something wrong. And really I was right the whole time in my suspicions.
So what kind of support do you have in your life? Do you have a job? Do you have friends? Do you have family that can offer you support? And you say you're feeling depressed. What's your support network like?
I mean, I have friends. I'm in the military, but it's all like my manly stuff. So I speak on it, and they say, hey, man, don't let your emotions get the best of you. Yeah, it's been 5 years, but you got to get on with life. I'm like, but this just happened, but okay. And pretty much tell my friends the same thing. And my sisters, they don't like her, so they say, oh, well, we're glad you don't talk to her anymore. Well, I'm like, well, I still love her. Even though we're doing all this, in my mind, it might be poisonous to think like this, but I'm thinking like maybe we can work on it and figure it out. But all my sisters telling me, no, don't figure it out. Just move on and leave. I'm like, oh, no. I'm feeling kind of lost and confused and not knowing what to do.
Well, the work that you're tapped into here with the Mind Shifters Radio and the, I mean, you stumbled across a resource. I'm a clinical psychologist in Illinois, and mm-hmm. I do this show for the last almost 11 years, 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, because these tools that they make available absolutely free are some of the best tools I've ever encountered in my 47 years of doing therapy. So I strongly encourage you that use some of that strength of character that you have, that you must have to be in the military, and go to that website and download the worksheet and or listen to this show again where I stepped through a worksheet that I had done for myself this morning, and or download the app to your phone so you can do that worksheet. Beyond that, there's a whole list of other shows where other people have called in and they've had upsets like yours. And we've stepped them through the worksheet process so those shows can serve as a tutorial for you to how to apply this worksheet in your own life. And when you figure out how to manage or disassemble the negative emotions that you're experiencing right now, you will end up having a clearer view of your life and your relationship with your girlfriend, and then you'll make better decisions. Then you'll know better within your own heart of hearts, should you give her another chance the way your heart is telling you, or should you move on like your sisters are telling you or your other family members are telling you. But it's almost impossible to make a good decision about that when I've got the negative emotional states of anger, fear, sadness, hurt, depression, confusion, or overwhelm active in my mind. That's why we find it so useful to use the reality management worksheet. Like, I didn't see when your number came up, so I don't know how much of that you heard me work through. But minutes after, you know, an hour and 20 minutes from now, a few minutes after that, the archive of this show is going to be there. So there'll be yet another record of somebody working through a worksheet process that you could get access to. And the core, okay, the core of this work, Gianni, is that I understand by a direct observation that I'm the only one that's ever caused myself to feel an emotion. Right now, your mind is telling you that your girlfriend is causing your upset, your sadness, your betrayal, your feeling that you were betrayed, etc. This work can help you understand how she's just doing the best she can in each moment with whatever life brings her and whatever resources she has, just like you're doing the best you can in each moment, and you're creating your emotions based on how you interpret and respond to what she does, and she's creating her emotions based on how she interprets and responds to what life brings her. And I can tell you from my own firsthand experience that the longer I've used these tools over the years, the more confident I feel, the less time I spend in the negative emotional states, and the more balanced my personal life and relationships have become.
I'm going to work on it. It's just right now, I think everything is kind of fresh. It seemed like it was kind of broken up, but was working towards something. And all of a sudden, it just blew up. I feel like I worked on myself a lot since the time she's been gone from August until now. And when she came back last week, it was just one incident. And it just spiraled out of control. And she always trying to tell me, well, that's your anger and your frustration is the reason why you need a break. But really, it's I feel like I'm reacting to a situation, so I'm defending myself. And then when she finally realized that yesterday, or today, 2 days ago, she said, well, I realized that, and now I need to step away. But I want to keep talking to you, and I don't want you to not talk to me. So like she's trying to confuse me almost. And I feel even worse, where I still haven't grieved over my mom properly yet. I've been putting this relationship first, because I know, I don't know.
Well, and as we said, there's a lot going on. You know, you're adjusting to the change in life with your mother not being there, and you're adjusting to the change in the relationship, and it's a lot to handle all at once. And the reason that it's so beneficial to talk to somebody who's not involved in it and somebody who studies human behavior and how we create our own emotions is because then they can help you use tools like the ones at whyagain.org to actually start to relieve the pressure that you feel when you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling sad, when you're operating from the belief that your girlfriend is abandoning you, etc. That creates a pressure inside our heads. That creates this cycle of spinning thoughts. And this worksheet process is specifically designed to help change that, disrupt that process, help me calm down, help me get a clearer perception of my life, and make better decisions.
All right.
And, you know, if you were interested and you wanted to stick around, there's a second hour of this show coming up, and Dr. Michael Rice will be here. He might actually help you work through a worksheet. We don't quite have time to do that, and I don't want to get you started and then drop in the middle of it, but that's an option. You could stick around and ask him to help you step through a worksheet on your sadness or your anger or your overwhelm, any one of those three.
Okay. I got to get back to work.
Okay. Understood. The website is whyagain.org, and the app on your phone can be found by searching for Heartland, all one word, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, and type the word forgiveness. Before you're done typing that word, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you download that, it'll give you access to the app. And as I said, there's all kinds of audio files and the show archives for the last 10 and a half years of this show as tutorials for you. So feel free to call back again tomorrow and or Friday. We're here 5 days a week. And I will be holding the hope that you find good use of the tools.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. We have about 8 minutes left. Do you have comments or questions or answers or commentaries about the worksheet process that I did at the beginning of the show? Do you have a suggestion for a topic that's different from that? It is of great benefit to me to have these tools, and I benefit tremendously from the willingness that I'm pretty sure I inherited from both of my parents, and the willingness to actually use tools like this to my benefit whenever the situation arises. And hopefully it's a benefit to you when we share those processes on the show. I was making active use of the admonition from Pema Chodron when I was doing my worksheet to be gentle with myself, because there is a tendency, even after all these years, for me to be hard on myself for even needing to do a worksheet anymore, rather than just being able to take a breath and let everything move and transmute it on the spot. But I realized after a number of weeks of thinking of this situation actively from time to time, and realizing that every time I thought of it, there was at least a tension in me, if not an actual negative emotion. And so I understood that the only way to get some kind of movement in hopes of eventual resolution is to get out of my head, quit thinking about it, and just do a process. I've done some EFT tapping. I've done some breathing at night. And the thing that really helped break it loose was doing this worksheet and finding some connections to things that were, you know, significantly important relationships in my life. And they, as we, you know, as the worksheet revealed, it goes back to when I was 8 years old. And it was connected to things that happened when I was eight and when I was in my teens and when I was in my 20s and when I was in my 40s. And it's just got the same kind of resonant energy as the situation in my life today. And that just helps me reinforce the observation what I'm upset about is never the people or things outside of me. It's only, always and forever, my own internal creation. And if I'm willing to pick up the worksheet, if I'm willing to do the work, there's a real good chance I'll see things, connections, meanings, interpretations, stored traumatic energies that I was not aware of prior to doing the work. So that's my offering for today. We have another 5 minutes to chat. If you've got a comment or a question, 563-999-3581. We've got two more shows this week. We'll do one tomorrow, and there'll be a support group tomorrow. I was working on the email that goes out from my website, from my AWeber account, to email people, let them know that we're having support groups on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You can get access to that, and the information is available at mindshiftersacademy.org, and or you can go to my blog on my website and get access to the AWeber account, so you can get emails notifying you when there are events or changes coming up in the Mind Shifters radio show, or my hour of that show. And I would also remind people that we have the On Your Mind podcast hosted by Journey's Dream, which is a not-for-profit that's actively working to try and help rewrite the narrative on mental health to one in which optimal health and well-being is possible and expected, and where mental health challenges become transformative rather than tragic. There's a recent, I would call it a glitch, that I became aware of, and that is that when I submit these On Your Mind podcasts to be fixed up or fancied up by the podcast people, they don't always do what they're designed to do. So I would ask for the support that if you listen to an On Your Mind podcast interview and you find that in some way it is sloppy or the editing is bad or there's a lot of loose talk before my usual opening question, which is, can you tell us how you got into the work you do and what drives your passion for it? That's my usual opening question. If you discover that the situation or the episode is not edited well, please send me an email or call me on the internet show. The email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And our call-in number for this show again is 563-999-3581. You can call that number and press 1 and let me know. Also, you can make suggestions about who you'd like to have us interview, either for the Mind Shifters radio show or for the On Your Mind podcast, hosted by Journey's Dream, available at journeysdream.org/podcast. And that'll just about do it for our show today, our first hour of the show, second hour coming up with Michael and Jeannie. I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I'll have to go back and listen to the first part where you walked through a worksheet. I missed that part. But excellent conversation with Gianni. Is that his name?
Gianni. Yep, Gianni from Detroit.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. All right. Have a lovely show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, November the 17th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And we'll give Michael just a minute to get dialed in, and I will invite you to go to the website, which is whyagain.org. And you can click on the Start Here button or scroll down and click on the bullseye. Either one of those takes you to the same place. And that's where you will find where we've walk people through doing worksheets. You'll find all of the worksheets for all of the different videos, different workshops, and invite you to just go out there and put the tools to work in your life. Like we always say, you don't have to believe in it, but if you put it to work, you'll see that it really does work. And we invite you to press 1. For those of you who are on the switchboard and you were participating in the Still Point Breathing Saturday and then the Mind Shifters meeting that we had last night, and we will be doing that on Tuesday nights instead of Wednesday nights. There were a couple people who were in it for the long haul that Tuesday nights was easier for them because of prior commitments. So I have emailed the links out to everybody that participated. So you can go back and rewatch both Saturday's session and last night's class and get a refresher and go back and, you know, sometimes when we're listening, that's why it's also good for us to have these shows in the archives, because when you're actually listening or speaking or whatever, then sometimes it's hard to follow the whole thing. You might be like, I missed that. What did he say about that? And so you can go back and re-listen and build those brain cells and go a little bit deeper. So we appreciate you being with us. And we will, Michael will be on with us here in just a minute.
I will.
And he just came back up the steps. So give him just another second to get dialed in. If you have any questions or comments about anything, whether it's on the first hour or this hour or any of the tools that you find on the website and you have a question about it, or if you're working with some of the tools and you don't quite understand them or you get stuck. I had somebody the other day that they were working on the Mind Goal Management tool, and that one can be a little bit confusing sometimes because, you know, you've got to start somewhere. So the worksheet actually talks about your framing your goals during the night and then the next day setting the goals, and then whether you were successful in achieving them or not. So when you first start the Mind Goal Management sheet, you know, you may be starting in the middle. You'll eventually catch up with it, and that's a powerful tool. And what that focuses on is, you know, we should only set goals that we can accomplish in the next waking period. So we frame goals at night, and then we set them in the morning. And it's kind of like, you know, I say, well, I still have a paper calendar that I carry in my purse. And I also use my phone calendar. But, you know, I can put things out in my paper calendar that I plan. You know, I haven't set it as a goal, but I plan to do certain things, you know, at certain times. And sort of like, you know, we're planning Thanksgiving dinner over at my stepson's house. And it'll just be, you know, small family gathering, and each one of us are going to be bringing certain foods so that the whole dinner isn't dependent on one person to fix it, and it makes it just a little bit easier. So I have it in my planner that we're going to do that on Thanksgiving Day, but I haven't set any goals around it. Now, on the day before Thanksgiving, I'm going to set some goals to start preparing the foods that I need to bring. Then on Thanksgiving morning, I'll set the goals of when I need to have them in the oven or whatever so that it'll be ready when we have Thanksgiving dinner that afternoon. And so it's a difference in having a plan and intentions and then setting it as goals. And so you don't want to set a goal for something, like I don't want to set a goal for Thanksgiving Day when I'm not going to be able to do anything about it until next week. Because when you set goals, it creates stress to motivate you to do whatever it is that you need to do to accomplish that goal. So if I set a goal right now to fix the dressing and the gravy and the cranberry sauce for next week, then if I don't cancel that goal or achieve it, then there's going to be a certain amount of stress, even if it's kind of unconsciously, that I need to do it. And so that's just a small example of how you have plans and intentions, and then you set them as goals. So, you know, if you're doing any of the worksheets, like that one, you know, and the person wrote me, and it's like, I'm confused. What am I doing here? So that's what the show is here for, to answer your questions and to help guide you. So if you've used any of the tools on the website and you have a question or you feel stuck, press 1 and ask your question. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Great explanation. Two other little pieces of that puzzle that aren't so little is people say, well, but I have good intentions. You know, good intentions aren't worth the powder to blow them to hell. That's the bottom line of it. If you don't take the intention, and intentions are the raw material of goals, and turn it into a goal. So somebody can have an unconscious goal to terrorize their partner, and they say, well, you know I got drunk last week and I terrorized you, but I'm going to be really good to you from now on. That intention doesn't do anything to drive perception, which is what guides behavior. So really important to recognize that you take your intentions to that next step. And it's really important to manage your goals daily, because each goal you set creates a stress. And when stress gets to a certain level, and, you know, it can be stress related to wonderful things, like, you know, getting together with family on Thanksgiving. But if Jeannie were to set those goals, oh, well, I'm going to make, you know, Ari happy, and I'm going to make Ryan and Gabby happy, and I'm going to get Dad what he, and all that stuff, then stress builds to a level where all of a sudden one becomes ultra-stressed, even with wonderful stresses. And they move into their power person dynamic. It's stress, remember, that activates or determines which level of power person dynamic we're going to be in. So good stuff, Gene. Nice. Whose question was that?
It was just somebody that had written me an email. And,
okay. Cool.
I had actually was doing private sessions with them and had suggested that they do that because they were setting goals in their mind for meeting with their attorney and what they were going to say to their sister and what they were going to have to tell the farmer that lived on their land and all of these things. And she was so ultra-stressed, and it's like, you know, you need to manage your goals. And so then when she started doing it, she got a little bit lost in it. So.
Yeah. And the most important aspect of managing goals is knowing when to cancel one. If you're not going to accomplish a goal in the next waking period, you know, if I have a goal to do something today and all of a sudden my day gets backed up and, oh, I'm never going to get to that. If I let that hang out in my mind, I just kept my stress elevated. And what happens when stress is elevated, aside from ultimately kicking the power person dynamic in, is it uses up resources. It's just like on your computer. You know, if you open your word processing program, you can zip right along. You open your word processor in your email, and you can zip right along. You open your word processor in your email and your picture editing software, and things start to slow down a little bit. And then you open your database, and that slows down. And all of a sudden, the computer collapses, it crashes. And that's exactly what happens with the mind when too many goals are active. So if I see that the goal I have for 4 o'clock this afternoon, I said it this morning when I woke up, is not going to get accomplished today, then I'm going to cancel it. And then I'm going to, and we have a sheet, you know, the mind goal management sheet you can download from the website. And, you know, I'm going to either cancel that totally, like, okay, if I can't get it done at 4 this afternoon, it'll never get done. I'm finished with it. It's gone. Or actually, the company I was going to do it with isn't open until next week at the same time, so I'm going to put it on my planner for that time next week. I'm not going to put it into my mind as a goal. I need to remember to do that because I just created another stress. So I want to keep my stress at minimal, manageable levels, and do that by setting goals that relate only to what I'm going to achieve today. Otherwise, and if you remember the power person dynamic, or if you haven't been on the show, we'll just briefly explain it. Power person dynamic happens, and it's usually to kids, so not necessarily, it can happen to an adult, when three criteria are met. Number one, someone, usually a parent with a child, has more power over the child's life than the child has. Two, the parent is not functioning out of love. Three, the child perceives the situation as survival. When those three factors happen, the energy field of the child opens wide, they become a sponge, and literally every energetic pattern in the environment, the good, the bad, and the ugly, energetically are absorbed into the child. 2 days, 2 years, 20 years, 50 years later, those energetic patterns are resonated by a goal, and the energy taken in that power person situation tends to move into behavior. So So the level of stress we're under determines which level of behavior related to the power person is active. When there's no stress, the automatic decision system cuts in and will do whatever we did to get along with our power person. When stress starts to build, we'll shift out of doing what we did to get along with our power person. So Mr. Nice Guy all of a sudden becomes Mr. Snarky. And why? Because the second level of power person dynamic is engaged, and now they're doing what they did to resist and survive with their power person. So if you watch somebody who's Mr. Nice Guy going along, Ms. Nice Guy, and everything's great, and a little bit of stress starts to build, and they all of a sudden become snarky, you know that's what they did to relate to their power person. And then you can tell exactly what their power person did to them when they become ultra-stressed, because the mind, having absorbed that energy from the environment, you know, if it was a raging power person, then that rage was just sucked in. You know, you look at the millions of people in America that are raging right now, just believing crazy, insane things because the mind in hostility and fear is insane, and willing to do just the most outrageous things, and many of them supposedly in the name of their religion, which is a religion of peace and honoring neighbor. But here's what you know. When they become ultra-stressed, if they become vicious and vile, believe lies and attack people, in particular immigrants in this case, there's so much of that going on, then you know that this person has no capacity to live by one of the basic tenets of honoring their neighbors. And you know that their power person attacked them, and they'll attack. It's just it's like, you know, night follows day. You can just track the mind in exactly what it's going to do. So managing goals is a really important part of that. And there is a video in our catalog, or if you've got the videos, you might want to go back. If this is resonating something for you, you might want to go back and listen to the video, Getting the Stress You Need, and download the Mind Goal Management Sheet from the website. And even if you don't have the video, you can download it, and it's pretty self-explanatory. And, of course, we're here to answer questions. If you download it, you go, well, I'm not sure what this means or how to use this. Well, here we are. So we're here to, you know, if you are feeling supported by the show, and let's say this makes sense to you, then go and buy the video. That'll support us. And if you're not in a position to do that or don't want to do that, then call into the show and ask the question. And do both. Or neither, or whatever works. But we're here to provide support for that. Does that resonate anything else for you, sweetie? I think that's covering. You've covered it really well. Any other thoughts on stress management? Cool.
No.
So maybe the person that asked the question, we can send them the link to this show. And if they have any more questions, know that we're here to support them.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I'm going to jump right into chapter 22. You know, out of 24 chapters, we're now on chapter 22, middle of November. We're pretty much on track. We're on page, for those who are following, page 147 out of, 183 pages. I'm just looking at near a couple of other pages. Anyway, so we're on track. Our year is winding up. It's been a fast year. It's been fun to read the book for me, not having read it except once since I wrote it 25 years ago. And so the chapter we're heading to is What is Learning? So we're looking here to understand more about the mind and is this idea of building brain cells. So I offer the question, if you're not familiar with the book, it's a conversation with this character named Richard, who's this recalcitrant kind of guy who doesn't want to hear anything I've got to say, but, you know, he's going through a third divorce and he's heading out of Dodge. He knows women in his life are the problem, so he's going to take the geographic year and go somewhere else, where, of course, he's guaranteed to meet another woman with the same issues. And he stops and we have a conversation. He kind of moves in and out of understanding. He seems to be moving toward more willingness and building brain cells. So I offer him the thought. Remember when you first sat down at the computer, you had no idea what could be done, but because you had built the brain cells for operating it, pardon me, had not built the brain cells for operating it, you had no realities in your mind to guide you. Therefore, you could not get it to perform. Once you studied computers or an expert helped you to build the brain cells, you could run it successfully. I remember the first time I sat down the computer, it's like, how do I turn it on? What does that C:\ mean? Oh, now I know that's a C prompt. That's where you type your instructions in. Of course, kids don't usually know that now because the day of that type of interface is pretty much past, except in more professional circles. We now have GFIs. GFIs, no, that's electrical. What is it? Anyway, we have a visual click a button, click an icon to get something to work. But so prior to being able to operate the computer, the only difference between you and the expert was the content of his or her brain cell structure compared to yours. She had realities about computers that you had not yet built. Once you developed, quote unquote, the eyes to see, you were able to tap the creative capacity of the computer because you now had the brain cells. Notice when the computer wouldn't perform for you, it did not mean there was something wrong with the computer or with you. All the possibilities were there. If you crashed the computer, it was not interested in being vindictive and punishing you. It simply did not work the way you wanted it to. This is a perfect model of what happens in life. So, you know, life is very much like a computer. It does what you tell it to do, not what you want it to do. In other words, when you frame and set a goal to relate it to our earlier conversation, you just put an instruction set into the computer. The instruction set, and in this case, the computer is the mind, the instruction set does not activate the mind until you set that intention as a goal, until you actually commit to it. You know, there are five basic things that the spiritual faculty of will can do, and there's a cheap copy of it that the mind has. And the cheap copy of will is willpower. I'll force this. I'll make this happen. Tends to leave people in a lot of stress. And it tends to cause them to replicate their power person dynamic. In fact, my offering is the power person dynamic is very literally running the whole world at this point. And I don't care what arena you go into. I don't care if you go into a church or a prison or a school or a business. It's run by the power person dynamic. The person who's under the most stress will tend to bring forward the dynamic of their power person, and that will oftentimes be of abuse, force, and so-called willpower, which leaves people in a lot of stress, tends to create a lot of abuse, but it kind of does get some things done. When you understand that will is the spiritual faculty that is designed to manage the mind, we all have stored from the past in our genes, in our physiology, who knows, an incalculable number of goals from the past. Remember that once a goal is set in physiology, there are only two ways to get rid of it. And I'm talking about now, it's set in your genes as well, and it's passed to future generations. So you either achieve a goal or you cancel the goal that's creating the perception that drives behavior. If you don't do one of those two things, that goal is there forever. I mean, literally a goal from 20 generations ago. If the circumstances are right to resonate a goal that great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather had and never achieved, that goal will come up, and you may find yourself feeling like, well, you know, this didn't even feel like me, but here I go. And if there's a lot of stress involved, then force will come into it. But will, the spiritual faculty, is a faculty that can frame a goal, set a goal, select a goal for immediate attention. It can maintain a goal. You know, if you've ever watched a pothead operate, you'll notice how, what was I doing? I don't quite remember. Well, if the energy of the brain is used up by the destructive effects of THC, and I know that there's a lot of PR. I mean, there are billions of dollars moving around the world today with pot. So they're buying a whole lot of science or so-called science, and they're buying a whole lot of state legislatures to make this a legal game. My offering is that if you look into pot, and I don't know that the research has yet determined what the half-life is of a THC molecule, but the THC molecule just happens to be the right-shaped molecule to go into the openings, go through the membrane of the cells, and this particularly impacts the brain, but it happens throughout the whole structure. It happens to be the right shape to go into the membrane in the cell that, or the receptor site that accepts nutrition. And it plugs the cleanse sites, the detox sites that detox the cell. And the half-life is somewhere between 8 days and 6 months. THC goes in, people get high. What was I going to do? Why did I walk in the other room? What was I saying? What we were in the middle? You know, you're talking along with somebody with a very interesting conversation, and all of a sudden the pothead goes, and they're just explaining something that they just forget. Oh, what was that? Well, that effect, you know, when someone's high, that's pretty common, but that effect goes on for somewhere between 8 days and 6 months, because that's the half-life of a THC molecule in the cell. Now, it changes all sorts of things throughout the structure, but in particular the brain. So why does the pothead not usually get much done? Because this one faculty is blocked because of the destructive energy in the brain. And that is the ability to maintain a goal. So you can frame a goal, set a goal, select a goal for immediate attention. And then if you can maintain that goal, if you're not, you know, burned out on pot, one will be able to go through and achieve that goal. And then the last piece that we tend, and you know, people say, well, you make a list, that's how you maintain a goal. It's a very poor way of maintaining a goal, because you're not managing your mind. Your mind is managing you. The final piece, the final thing of the five things that will can do, this is part of our Laws of Living course, is that will can cancel a goal. It is an act of will to cancel a goal. So if I find myself getting overstressed, getting overloaded with goals, with stress, then I can, if I'm aware that it's possible, and, you know, I don't know anywhere else on the planet that they talk about this specific point. I mean, they talk about, oh, well, just let it go. But more specifically, you know, if there's an upset or disturbance, you say, well, I'll just let it go. Well, you know, that's kind of nebulous. Look at the goal that's driving your perception that is generating pain for you, and cancel that goal. And what you'll do is you'll, and this is called forgiveness, you'll collapse that pain perception. And when you collapse that pain perception in the presence of love, the root of the pain perceptions comes forward in the presence of love, and healing happens. So that's all part and parcel of getting the stress you need in the Mind Goal Management Sheet. I invite you to download it and put it to work. And to download it, you go to our website, whyagain.org. And let's see, Jeannie, can you describe, I'm not that familiar now with the new layout, where one would find that worksheet?
If they click on either Start Here or scroll down and click the bullseye in the middle of the page, they first things that come up is, of course, Chapter 24 and the special shows, and then there are the link to the wake-up sheets, which there are several, so they have their own page. But then if you scroll further down, all of the other worksheets for all of the other workshops are at the bottom of that. So either the Start Here or the Bullseye.
Sweet. Awesome. Thank you, honey. And so Building brain cells, what is learning? And, you know, it's interesting how often people buy into a message from their power person based on the fact, and I've just seen this so often, that the power person delivered a message to a child that they were stupid or not capable or not good enough to achieve or whatever it was. And the adult, you know, the child of three, and explained once to the child and expected the child to fully understand and do what they said. But behavior is a much deeper and much more complex issue than being told once what you're supposed to do. In order to follow, especially a complex set of instructions, one has to have brain cells for every step in the instructions. I mean, think about it. How often were you, and I'm thinking back again to the days when there was a C prompt, were you on the computer with technical support, and they gave you a one-sentence instruction. But being advanced in computers, they had no idea that they just told you to do 12 different things. It's so automatic to them. They've got the brain cells. They just go click, 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 click. But you sit there and you go, wait a minute. And I can remember in one particular occasion, I had a problem with the computer, and the fellow I'm on the phone with says, you know, go to a C prompt. And I didn't know what a C prompt was at that point. I was just starting to use computers. Go to a C prompt and blah, 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 blah. Well, that was 8 different instructions. Oftentimes, an adult, knowing fully, I mean, if you've ever worked with a technical person, I know that a friend of mine, his son is a computer nerd, and his son is just happier than happy to help him as he's learning computers. But he stopped calling on his son. Because when he does, his son gives him this instruction set, and, you know, he got lost at the third word. And his son's up to the 30th word. And when he says, wait a minute, slow down, his son becomes very frustrated and upset with him. It's like, well, I already told you. How many times did the parents say, well, I already told this 3-year-old what they're supposed to do? No, you may have to explain that behavior to that 3-year-old 50 times for them to have the brain cells that you have to be able to do that. And so oftentimes the child takes on, well, I guess I'm just stupid because, you know, here this power person, I mean, they told me to do it and I didn't know how to do it, so there's something wrong with me. I'm broken. And people live their whole lives out of that insanity. So understanding how this mind operates is really a key. And then realizing that literally anything stored in the mind that is based in hostility or fear, in computer terms, is corrupt data. That the meaning of hostility or fear, when something happens in your life and hostility or fear comes up, that means that your mind is trying to build an instruction set for you, a perceptual construct that will handle the situation, but it's building it out of data that's already been corrupted. It's already false, and it's trying to use false data to get you through something that it can't get you through. And that's where awareness of how the mind operates and knowing when it's using corrupt data to stop, take a breath, slow down, and do some work around that to clean up the corrupt data so that the instructions, the end result that your mind comes up with to guide your behavior is truly logical, rational, harmony with, in resonance with your highest intentions and your highest understanding of purpose. You know, if somebody says, oh, my purpose, you know, in our purpose, personal power, and commitment workshop, we offer that the primary purpose of every human being on the planet is the same, and that is to build a viable, conscious, spiritual body called love, to strengthen the presence of love in them. Someone goes, well, that's my purpose, but there's all kinds of corrupt data with rage and fear and hatred and vengeance in it. They'll go to church on Sunday morning, and they'll come out of church and puke on their children or their spouses. And they'll do all the high holy stuff. I remember one time sitting in a church that someone had invited me to, and the minister was up in front of the church, and he's doing a sermon on loving. And his wife and his small son were sitting on a bench on the side of the altar. The son was maybe 2.5 or 3. And here he is extolling the virtues of being loving, as though love was a verb and something you could do. And his son, you know, he doesn't know what's going on, gets up and, you know, reaches his hands up to Dad like, "Dad, dear, pay attention to me, pick me up." Would have been such a beautiful opportunity for this man to demonstrate what living as love actually means, and recognizing what was important. And I'm sure that everybody in that congregation, if he'd broken his thought process, if he'd forgotten exactly anything else he was going to say, if he turned to his son, picked him up and said, it would have been the best sermon he'd ever given. But instead, in frustration, he looked at his wife and spurned his son, because he was the orator giving a sermon on love. That's the insanity of the human mind when it is filled with corrupt data. And, you know, we've all been there, done that. You know, there's nobody that I know of that doesn't have, you know, when you realize that your mind is a product of your generational patterns, there are none of us have been unaffected by war and slaughter and political, you know, skullduggery and family trauma and inadequacy of mind called insanity or whatever. None of us are free from that influence. Hence the tools that empower each individual to actually live as a human being, to live as the presence of love that we're designed to do, and to own what goes on in the mind in the meantime. So that's what I've got to say for today. We'll get into the next step in chapter 22, what is learning, explaining that process and understanding how the mind operates. But in the meantime, Ms. Jeannie, any other thoughts for you or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up, or anything happening in the chat room?
We do have a hand up. It's 808. I believe it's Miss Roma.
Hi.
Well, hey there, young lady.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey there, still point breather. We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Oh, my God.
That was a great session Sunday, wasn't it?
Sunday?
Saturday. Saturday.
Or Saturday, pardon me. Saturday, our still point session.
Yeah. I woke up early this morning, and then I went back to sleep. And with the time change, you know, I sometimes forget whether you're on or not. So I just pushed the buttons to check and see, and there you were. And what you were talking about was how people think children are stupid, and the coincidence is so extreme. I was upset yesterday, but I chose at one point in our call, in our group call yesterday, I thought about sharing the upset, but I didn't, and because we were having such a nice call, so I'm calling into the call right now, because the coincidence of turning you on my telephone was so perfect that I had to face this. I had to face this. Oh.
Remember to breathe. Remember, this stage breath is your best friend.
Yeah. was a lot of fear. My sister is 6 years older than I am, and she very domineering and brutal with me when we were children.
Mm-hmm.
And we have at this stage in the game, you know, I'm 78 and she's 84, and she decided in the last year that she wanted to have a relationship with me, which I was very glad of. The other day in our phone call, she said something about how horrible it was when she came home. She had one child, and I was always too busy with my career to participate in the child, but she remembers it this way. She said, I came home, and you were sitting on the bed, and you were calling my baby stupid.
Meaning a doll? Are you there? If you can hear me, Roma, I can't hear you.
I'm in the, you know, within the same 10-minute conversation.
Okay. So, Roma?
Roma? Had hired babysitters.
Roma?
Yeah.
Ho. Roma, you disappeared there for about a minute and a half, so I couldn't hear what you were saying. Could you start over from, you know, she said you were calling her baby stupid. If you could start there, you just cut out totally there for a minute.
Really? That's weird.
It is weird. Technology, what can you say?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, this is the serendipity of the universe talking to me to have me call into the call today to begin with. And then I don't remember what I was saying, but long story short, she had a baby, and she hired two caregivers, two different female caregivers, and I didn't really know about that because I was singing on Holland America cruise ships. I was moving around the world. I didn't remember that when I was talking to her on the phone yesterday. Can you hear me now?
Right. I can hear you now, yes.
Yeah, good. Okay, so when she accused me of calling her baby stupid, I can't remember. I don't have a perfect memory. I'm losing my mind, and I'm certainly losing my memory. So instead of saying I would never do that, which, of course, is true, I said, oh, Joanne, if I did that, I'm terribly sorry. But then I realized that it had to have been one of her caregivers, these two women. And she has hated me so much our whole life. She's hated me so that it was something hateful that she's put into my file. She's an officially undiagnosed paranoid schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely
makes life
difficult.
I'm the fall guy. I'm the one that gets blamed for everything, you know. So it's a pretty weird situation, and it's heartbreaking. I don't know what to do about it.
So here's my input. Notice that, and remember in the session last night, we were talking about compassion.
Yeah,
notice
right.
That instead of being able to view your sister through the eyes of compassion and hold to the presence of love, you go into trauma and pain. And that's your healing opportunity.
Yeah.
So I'd offer that painful content that gets put into your brain's image of your sister is your work to do. Now, you can blame her for it, but the fact is you're the one that's feeling it. It's an energy moving in you, and so maybe it's time for you to do that next piece of work of being rejected, you know, canceling the goal to be accepted by your sister, be cherished by your sister, be cared for, and then canceling the goal probably ultimately for her to be healthy and sane so that you can clean out the pain in you. Maybe, you know, some of the same dynamics that you can clean that out and stand in a space of compassion. And you may just end up becoming the healer of your sister.
Well, actually, that's what's been happening in the last year, these phone calls we've been making. You know, it's been a huge breakthrough. It was just a little bit of her paranoia, her deceived out. And I don't know why it hurts me so bad.
Because there's hurt inside of you. It's really pretty simple. That pain is inside of you. And she has given you the gift of resonating it for you. And you can put it into your brain's image of her and go, why is she doing this to me? Or you can collapse that perception and approach the root of that pain that you carry and begin to free yourself of it.
Okay.
And it sounds like it's some pretty deep trauma.
It's terrible.
Yeah, I got it. Sounds like a major piece of work.
Okay. All right. Well, we can let someone else call. And I'll stay. I can do a worksheet and stay on the call or not. But.
Cool. Well, we'll be holding the space. And at any point you need support, we're here to do it.
Okay.
And I hold
thanks.
The space that this whole layer is something that you can, you know, when I put it in context of what you opened up on Saturday in the Still Point session, you're in the perfect place to do this next piece of work.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
All right, young lady. We'll be holding the space. All right.
All right. Bye.
Sending love in your direction.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And we have another caller, and I believe it's Julie in Oregon, 541. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Well, hey there, young lady.
I just realized. Hi. I hope I wasn't being heard because I was eating. And I didn't have it on mute, so I don't know.
Nope.
But anyway.
We didn't hear a sound. So you're good.
Okay. Well, my heart goes out to Roma across the ocean here from the Pacific West Coast to Hawaii. And she knows that I mean that. And I called for similar reasons. Things that you were saying today and yesterday at our meeting have been really resonating. And the one that I'm focusing on now is a little girl student that I have that has often been in tears at the piano lesson because of her parents. Because she has hurt inside of her that I don't see the rest of her life where it's coming from. But I know that they get very angry with her if she's not listening or doing it right, or how come it's taking so long for you to learn how to read music, and just really insulting things and forceful. And she, I can see now that she's actually developed a coping mechanism for even like not crying because she gets yelled at for that. So the place that I'm at now is recognizing that I get triggered too from their unkindness towards her. And and then the other thing you said today was sometimes we have these things in our childhood that are so traumatic. You said something that gave me a new insight. But anyway, I'm realizing to tell her when I see her that I sometimes go into a response and reaction to their communications, I'll call them, And I think that I'm not being a good teacher. Now, this is a young girl, but I feel like I am almost like a lifeline to her sometimes. And if I don't maintain that ground, then I go into agreement with her parents because I have to show them that we're working hard and doing these things. I remember what you said. You said sometimes the brain cells don't have the capacity to understand the information as fast as the professional computer person, you know, is giving it. And you have to back up and go over the same ground many times. And I do experience that in teaching. It's a needed step or many steps. And it doesn't help when a parent is, you know, threatening the belt, you know, if you don't get it and get with it. However, I can communicate with her that I understand that it happens to me too, and that we'll work as a team to breathe through it. That's what I'm just going to say. We'll breathe through it. And then the breath is silent, and we'll look at each other, do that love exchange, and just get through it. And if there's anything I can impart to her at this young age, is going to be a tool for her to get through all this re-triggering that she may go through in life. So that feels good. I haven't known how to work through the fact that one or the other of her parents is present during our lessons because I teach at her home. But at least I've been able to see the dynamics. And I'm going to own my own dynamics. Just say, you know, I had a hard time with these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the question to ask yourself is how many times did my parents give me those kinds of messages? If mm-hmm. I get lost in my emotional responses because or for the reason that my mind tells me is what they're doing to her, the truth is mm-hmm. my emotional response mm-hmm. is what's moving in me. And mm-hmm. it's moving in me because it's in me, and I want to clear it up so that I can have clarity of mind.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And that'll take you to the next level of being able to invite the parents into the space of patience and caring for the child rather than I'm going to beat you up if you don't accomplish the goals I have for you. You know, you're dealing with someone who had a power person. I guarantee I don't have to know mm-hmm. anything about those parents to know that they had a power person who, when they mm-hmm. didn't achieve on command, they were verbally, emotionally, and maybe physically beat up. And, you know, it's hard for them not to do that when that's what's in carbon-based memory. And,
and they
certainly a challenge. You're drawn into the exact circumstance that you need to do the next piece of your work around parental abuse.
Yeah.
So that you can take it to another level.
Yeah. And also, I was picking up on the parents are resonating in their old energetic patterns and memories and don't like that. You know, it's painful. And so they don't like it when they have to go through it with their child, you know, but in their perceptions. Instead of correcting it, like I'm going to correct it in myself and find a way out between my relationship and the girl, and then hopefully that, like you said, will open the way to the parents. However, I'm really afraid of her parents, I have to say. They're worse than
my offering would be you have no fear whatsoever of her parents. That's projection. That's your mind's lie. You have fear. And if you forgive your fear, you know, the reason you're experiencing fear in the presence of her parents is because in some way you have a related resonating energy of fear. And it's time for you to enter into doing the piece of work of forgiving that fear in you. And then it will no longer be there to project into your brain's image of her parents.
Okay.
So when I have fear, why do I have fear? Because there's fear in my mind. My mind will give me all kinds of reasons. Oh, I have fear because they said this, they did that, they didn't do this, this is happening in the world, blah, blah. I can come up with 1,000 things to project my fear on. But the bottom line is I have fear, if I have fear, because I have fear. And when I choose to be responsible for it, I can forgive the fear, and then I can operate with the mind connected to love instead of fear. Everything changes at that point.
So great. And earlier this morning, you were saying something about the willingness. I came in a little late, but the willingness to do this work always brings about the result of love or solution. That's what I picked up from what you said. And not doing it, not having the willingness, it's all about the willingness, because there is a way out, I guess. You were talking about will and willingness, that's right. Do you remember
yes.
what you said?
Well, actually, I was talking about will and willpower. And that willpower, the use of force, is the ego mind's cheap copy of will, the spiritual faculty. So I wasn't really, I may have mentioned willingness in another context, but in that case it was will versus willpower. And if I'm facing something that's corrupt data, that's less than loving me, then of course my willingness, having the cosmic grease to face it and move through it, is going to enhance my process.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Thank you. Oh, Michael.
Good breath.
I feel like I need a remedial course on every intensive. I really do. I'm so grateful that you do these support radio shows, you and Jeannie. They're so valuable on every level. Every level.
So here's my suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You participated in the codependence to interdependence communication intensive.
Mm-hmm.
You have that whole 90-hour video package. I would suggest that at this point, when you have time today, that you frame and set a goal to do a personal code evaluation. We'll give you feedback on it so you know where your challenges are. And start from hour one and redo the whole course. You've got it all there available to you. And, you know, you're talking about here, the whole thing you're talking about are power person issues. You're right back to the codependence intensive.
Oh, okay.
So I'd support you starting and do a self-study, you know, and you know, set yourself a reasonable schedule. You know, how much time you willing to, you want to do it every Saturday afternoon for an hour or 2 hours, and schedule the time in your planner for Saturday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon, you know, whenever it is, and then stick to that schedule if you're going to do it twice a week or three times a week, and start to work back through that whole thing. I guarantee that as recently as you did that, perhaps you were able to absorb maybe 20% of what we did in that intensive. And you will have, as you listen to it again, as you go through it and do the assignments and such, you will build so many new brain cells. You'll have so many ahas that you can't count that high.
Wow.
So that would be my support for you, is start that self-study and go through that whole 90 hours again in a paced fashion that you determine, and make a commitment to yourself, this is what I do every week, and take everything to the next level.
Thank you. Okay, I'll have to get with the technology of that and have it explained to me again and make sure I can access it all. And
well,
I'll
you've got an email. You've got an email from Jeannie. In that email, there's a spreadsheet, and she's beautifully laid out the whole course in order. All you have to do is click on the link on the spreadsheet for lesson one. Click on the link two. Click on link three. And she's got a spreadsheet. Just open the spreadsheet and start from the top of the list. And just go, there's nothing to understand about it. Just click on the link and listen. And, you know, whatever the assignments are, have your notebook from when you went through the course the first time, and just add new levels of understanding and use of the tools.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, she did a really beautiful job of just a simple, you know, here's the spreadsheet, and click, 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 and it's the whole course is there.
Okay.
So start with doing another personal code evaluation.
Yeah, start with the evaluation.
Okay, so, yeah, I'll have to go to where for that, another email?
That would be
go to
your,
the letter Y.
Y.
Again. The letter
oh,
Y
yeah.
again. Not WHY, but the letter Y again .com.
Okay.
And then sign in your email address and your password. Sign in. If you don't remember your password, then click on forgot password and it'll send you a new one. You can set up a new one. And then just start, you know, do an evaluation to pick one of the ones that you've got available. I think you've got a few in there. And then let Jeannie know. Send Jeannie a text when you're complete with it. She'll go through it, you know, explain the store, send you an email, and then start by watching the video. Remember, you've got two different videos on the personal code evaluation, so that's a starting point. So you really understand what the assignments are that you're given specific to your challenges, and then start moving through the course.
Wow, okay.
Simple as
so
ABC.
The two initial videos are the explanation of the course, or what'd you
personal
say?
Code evaluation.
Yeah, that's the first one. But then you said there's two videos.
There are two videos that explain the personal. It's in two different sections, hour one and hour two of the personal code evaluation explanation. So that's the first two things on the list. And then just follow in order.
Do
the evaluation before you watch the videos on the evaluation.
Yeah,
because
the tendency
can be if you watch the video, then you want to play smart rat. You don't want to play smart rat. You want an honest evaluation so you can go, oh, here's where my challenge is, blink, and then there are the specific assignments that you need to work with part of your mind.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. I just wanted to get clear on what you meant by the two videos, because the whole rest of the course is videos, one on the, Saturday or Sunday and one on Wednesday or something like that, right?
Right. And Jean's got it all in a simple spreadsheet. You just click them in order. She did a beautiful job of laying it out and making it simple.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad that simple honesty and love of self works every time, because I was saying I need a remedial course, and there you have it. So thank you.
Old brain cells.
Yep. Okay.
Cool.
Well, this is great.
Nice work, young lady.
And I'm complete now, and thank you. Maybe someone else wants to get in. Thanks.
So before you leave, one of the things I want to acknowledge you for is your willingness. Mm-hmm. You know, for people who've been listening to the show for years, maybe they remember, as I do, the times when you weren't quite so willing, as you struggled, and just your level of willingness now is like light years beyond where it was. And the progress that you've made and you're making is just enormous. So nice work.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
I really got the hostility out. I remember when we
first
I was just going to say. What?
I remember the day we sat on the park bench when we were out there, and you definitely pointed that hostility at me.
I was so right.
Oh, what
I
fun.
Mean,
oh, there you go.
I made it through life. I knew I was right.
Tough way
anyway,
to live, isn't it?
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, blessings. Take care.
Now. Okay.
Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And we're down to the last minute or so, but just the point to make there is people say, oh, doing all that work is so hard. No, living in a mind of hostility and fear is hard and makes life hard for decades. Doing your work is not hard. Doing your work takes effort. You can do your hostility and fear game with no effort whatsoever. It's already in the automatic decision system. It kicks in. You don't even have to think about it. Blap, it'll just plop out of your mouth. But it's a really difficult way to live because of the results you produce and the trauma involved. When you choose to do your work, it takes effort. It's not hard. It takes effort. But if you put that effort in, that is the easy way to live because life gets so much easier. So thank you for joining us. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.